gold miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on What's Elected this Friday morning. 251-343-0106 text line. We've got a couple to get to. We'll try to get to those before the show concludes this morning. By the way, coming up Monday, Dell Jackson and a handful of guests to be named later. Twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. Usually update the guest list there if you want to know who's going to be on any given show. Enough of that. Joining us now, it's time for our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making time for us. We'll kick it off here. You probably have a better understanding the bridge, the new bridge. It sounds like the ALDOT's going to proceed with over the canal there, the Intercoastal Waterway, onto the island. They seem to be leaning toward the new bridge and not adding working out some kind of deal with the existing toll bridge authority or whatever it is.
That's what it looks like for now, from where we stand from now, but it's important to note that that bridge, the new bridge that's been proposed by ALDOT, has been put on the letting schedule twice now and pulled off at the last minute. So it really is honestly hard to tell whether or not this is yet another negotiating tactic or if this is actually going to happen. And I think we'll just have to wait till the end of the month to see if ALDOT's actually going to proceed with that version of the project, entirely new bridge, or try to negotiate some more with the bridge company. And then, of course, once it's let, you got to, you know, figure out whether or not, you know, what the price is and whether or not ALDOT goes ahead and accepts the price and awards the contract.
What do you think? Do you have an opinion on what is the right path ahead?
Well, that's a very good question, and not to dodge it, but what I want to do is I want to make sure that something happens, that the project gets built, that we have additional lanes across the canal to get on and off of the island. To be honest with you, I don't really have a dog in that fight, whether it's two additional lanes on the toll bridge that would be free to Baldwin County residents, or if it's a completely new bridge and completely new approaches. Either one accomplishes my goal of additional free lanes for Baldwin County and on and off of the island. There just are concerns with either one through litigation or other increased costs that could cause the project to stall. That's what I want to make sure we avoid, and that's one of those things we're just going to have to see as we move forward, whether or not the path that John Cooper and the State Department of Transportation have charted is the correct one.
The Highway 59 bridge, I've been hearing that, well, you know, it's not going to last forever. Does this make this like a timetable issue where something's got to get done within the next decade or so, just because we don't know what the lifespan of that bridge is?
Well, we do know what the lifespan of that bridge is, and it is shortening day by day. An almost 50-year-old bridge right now. The particular style of bridge that it is, it's one of a kind in Alabama, and it's a very flexible bridge. It uses a pin mechanism to provide that flexibility, but it's also one that if that fails, that you're in big trouble, and you're in big trouble quick. And we could end up in that situation as that bridge ages, with only one way on and off the island, which is, of course, not a good idea. So one of the things the State Department of Transportation is going to have to look at in its long-term, long-range plan is replacement of the Holmes Bridge eventually. In the meantime, you will note that the City of Gulf Shores is essentially repurposing, restriping a portion of the southbound lanes of that bridge to add an additional third lane, total of six lanes north and south on and off at Gulf Shores. And then they've received a federal grant to build a bike and pedestrian lane on and off of the island, the separate bridge. Federal requirements make you have both a bike ped access as well as the vehicle access. So they're going to use the current bike ped lane for vehicle traffic, and then build an ancillary bike ped bridge just to the east of it. So bridge construction, additional lanes going on there, but yes, with a shortened lifespan of the bridge, probably another 20 to 25 years. And then this other, you know, bridge concept, additional lane concept, further to the east.
Well, that's kind of a remarkable thing that we had to deal with the government, that you're satisfying that aspect with a federal grant that could be, you know, used for whatever, but that you do that so you could expand the current existing infrastructure.
It's frustrating. The federal money always comes with strings, and then there are federal requirements that require you to spend more money than most prudent people would do on priorities that are set in Washington, D.C., and make no sense to us here locally sometimes. However, I will say that if there was a place for Bikehead, the beach is probably the place for it. You see a lot of folks moving around on their bikes, walking back and forth, parking their cars at a condo and leaving them. So you see a lot of that going on. I'm not a big fan, but at the same time, if there was a place for it, that's probably the most appropriate.
Yeah, I'm trying to rack my brain and think, we're in Alabama, would it be most appropriate? And yeah, it's probably somewhere in Baldwin County, to say the least. Senator, let's move on to something else. What do you make of this, the DOJ and going after Eagle Forum of Alabama? I find that it seems to serve a multi-purpose for them, but I guess it's something. Does this ever happen in state government where somebody, the legislature is being litigated or the state is being litigated because of a law, but where part of the discovery process, they want to know what lobbyists or correspondence between lobbyists and lawmakers. That seems privileged to me, but I'm not an expert on this. I mean, like, what if that is the new norm, and then every time you talk to a lobbyist, that it's susceptible to some kind of a federal subpoena?
You know, they've really picked on the wrong people here. I mean, these women, you know, Miss Jeannie, Miss Becky, you know, who advocate on behalf of conservative social issues, are some of the nicest, sweetest ladies that I know, and picking on them is going to do nothing but really embolden those of us who listen to them, who listen to their opinions on things. And it's important, I think, for the Department of Justice to realize, and the entire federal government to realize, that their power and authority is derived from the consent of the governed. And if they continue to act in the way that they are, I think you're going to see a whole lot less consent. And I think you're gonna see it start here in Alabama, where people simply say, "No, we're not going to comply. You know, that's ridiculous. You've lost your way," and put the federal government, the Department of Justice, and otherwise, in a position where they've got to take some other action. And who better to tell them, "No, you've lost your way," than a couple of nice, you know, conservative ladies who are just going to fold their arms and look at them and tell them, you know, go away. And do so respectfully, and that's exactly what I expect those folks to do.
Well, it seems like maybe the multi-pronged approach, whatever senseless discovery they're trying to accumulate for their litigation, but also it does send the wrong message. Say, you want to lobby on behalf of these things that we don't like in the Biden administration. You want to be on the wrong side of history. You do it, but you're going to be wind up. You're going to have to do it at a very exorbitant illegal expense. This is not going to be cheap. We're not going to make it easy for you. And I would just say this. Could you imagine Donald Trump's Department of Justice, if Jeff Sessions, the U.S. attorney for the Middle District, whoever that was at the time, so here's a subpoena to the Southern Poverty Law Center. We want to know what kind of correspondence you've had with Democrat politicians, because we got something we're litigating here. They would have the left in this country would have set its hair on fire.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And that's where the DOJ has made such a horrible miscalculation here. I mean, look, this isn't a corruption investigation of what moneyed interest group is trying to influence a politician or something like that. I mean, that's one thing. If you're trying to root out corruption, these are nice church going, God fearing ladies who are trying to preserve conservative family values in our society. That's their whole motivation. They're not getting rich off of it. They're not doing anything untoward. They're just talking about maintaining good conservative family values. And now you've got the Department of Justice asking them to jump through all kinds of hoops, they've lost their mind. And I think that they're going to find that the will of these ladies is really something to behold. And frankly, I'd take on the DOJ every day before I'd mess with the likes of the Eagle Forum ladies.
Well, I'll tell you something else, and maybe we should have seen it coming, but I didn't know what to make of it at the time. Right after you guys passed VCAP, and then the governor signs it, then in the White House press briefing, like a day later, Jen Psaki, the DOJ is going to put the state of Alabama on notice. You guys that make laws in Alabama, you're on notice, whatever the hell that meant at the time, but I guess we're seeing what that is.
Well, and that's the miscalculation on their part, is that they think that we care. And at the end of the day, it's not something that Alabama lawmakers or the folks that influence Alabama policy give any credence to. I don't care what Jen Psaki thinks about our lawmaking process. She can do her thing in Washington, D.C. My job is to look after Alabamians, pass laws in Alabama that look after vulnerable children, and make sure that the insane woke agenda in Washington is not something that's pushed on our children here in Alabama. That's the same message that the ladies at Eagle Forum have. That's my message. And, oh, by the way, that's the majority of the Alabama legislature's message and the governor's message. And that's why we have states, and we have state rights. So they can, you know, they can go look through all the paperwork that they're going to find, and all they're going to find is a bunch of legislators listening to their constituents and some wonderful, wonderful women who are looking out for the best interests of children in Alabama.
Well, it's like you said, they picked on the wrong people here. Just from a public relations standpoint, but it remains to be seen, I guess, what a judge will do here, and if a judge will allow this. That's really what where it stands. But I also got to be thinking, and you can tell, you can speak to this part of it. This isn't going to deter you guys from considering any kind of legislation like this in the future, because you don't want to deal with a left-wing Department of Justice.
I'm not worried about the DOJ, especially when it comes to issues like this. I mean, I believe what I believe, and whether they like it or not, I still have the right to do that. And these ladies still have the right to petition their legislators, their elective representatives, to maintain and preserve and protect conservative family values, whether the Biden administration likes our views on that or not.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Sarah, we'll get you out of here on this. Wind it down here. Tax relief. Any discussions there? I know there's been some budget hearings, but as we know, and this is something one of your colleagues, Will Barfoot's, told me, like, a lot of things are kind of, they're done. There's a lot of groundwork that is laid before you guys get hit the ground running, and I guess next year will be March. But the tax relief topic is just really, it seems to be front of center in my crowd. What do you think of that? Senator Orr's got a rebate, one-time rebate thing, but is that going to be where it kind of starts and ends, or where do you think it is?
So the rebate is an easy thing to do. We have more money right now than we've budgeted, and we can't afford a rebate. I think that is all but a foregone conclusion. You've got a legislature that is striving to be conservative. There are certainly pressures that are outside pressures that are saying, "Hey, guys, you know, you got more money than you need. You got to return it." The question is, do we go further than a rebate? Do we look at it and say, let's go ahead and reduce taxes? And I'm in the latter crowd. I think we should do the rebate, but I also think we should reduce taxes. The state of Alabama, year after year, has been taking in more than it needs. Through conservative leadership and conservative governance, we have had stable budgets where revenues have exceeded the appropriations. We have flush rainy day fund accounts and reserve accounts and trust funds. Those are all fully funded. Those are good conservative budgeting measures. But now it's time to take the next step and reduce taxes. And that's not just one time. That's moving forward.
Well, I tell you what it seems like to me, and you can speak on this as well, that maybe when they put in the SSUT, that they kind of lowballed what they anticipated, and it has been more, there's been more revenue coming from that than maybe they had budgeted or expected.
Well, I'm sure that that's the case. I certainly know that's the case. I know there's some municipalities that are seeing that as the case. I'll tell you, across the board, if you look at revenue sources, they're up. Alabama's economy is humming. It's doing very well. And then again, we're not spending all that we're bringing in, and that's good conservative governance. The challenge is going to be, and continues to be, do we have the political will to take the next step and say, you know, look, everything's paid for, all the savings accounts are full, all the trust funds are there. Now can we start weaning ourselves off of some of that revenue? And that's going to be the challenge for this legislature, is to see, hey, can we do this, especially in those areas of largesse? And yes, that's going to mean sales tax, and that's going to mean a targeted tax cut to those that need it the most, and that is working families.
Got to leave it there, Senator. You're always very kind to come on, and we'll do this again next Friday.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, and we'll say hi to Phyllis Shapley at the end of your.
Different Phyllis, but maybe we'll figure out how to work that in. All right, guys, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
On a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried.